Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. 800-531-3815. Toll-free coast-to-coast. Thank you very much for joining us today. And if you just tuned in, we're glad you're here. Karen Kerrigan is our guest, and she's our good friend and one of the people who's been with us on this show the longest. I can think of only one other person who's been a guest on this show longer than her. And Karen is the chairman and the founder of the Small Business Survival Committee. She's also chairman of the founder of Women Entrepreneurs, Inc. And I'm telling you, folks, I've said this before, and I'll say it as long as I can draw breath, pound for pound, nobody does more for small business than Karen Kerrigan. Karen, welcome back.
Oh, thanks for having me, Jim. A typical small business right now, I'm trying to do too many things at once.
You're a multitasker, aren't you?
I'm on the street right now, which is a good thing, and on my way to a couple of meetings, and you know, you just got to sort of catch these opportunities when you can, right, Jim?
That, exactly. And, folks, that'll give you an example of how what I mean. I mean, she's proving my point. She's on her cell phone, but she wanted to make sure that she got to visit with us today because, Karen, on Friday, you testified before the Joint Hearing of Government Subcommittee on Energy Policy, Natural Resources, and Regulatory Affairs with the talking about small business paperwork, the Small Business Paperwork Relief Act. And I want you to tell us what you said and what they said.
You bet. The hearing that was hosted by the chairman, Doug Osi, as well as Congressman Ed Schrock of Virginia. He's the chairman of the Regulatory Reform Oversight Committee of the Small Business Committee. They were essentially doing an update on the Paperwork Relief Act of 2002 and where the Office of Management and Budget, the OMB, was in implementing the act. So that we could see a reduction and steps that have been taken to reduce the paperwork the burden of paperwork requirements on the small business sector. And what they found really wasn't too pleasant. Essentially, according to the Paperwork Relief Act, they were supposed to hit, the OMB was supposed to implement certain parts of the act that really serve as benchmarks in terms of where we are, where we're trying to go to relieve the paperwork on America's small business and entrepreneurial sector. So, you know, the chairman of the committee gave our friends at the OMB a couple of D's and a couple of F's in terms of their progress to date.
Well, what were some of the things that they were doing that was so deficient?
Well, one of the key, there's some pretty simple benchmarks, you know, that were established by the Act. Number one is that the Act called for the OMB to establish a single point of small business contact at each federal regulatory agency, at each agency in government that requires paperwork from small businesses. You know, essentially, and I know this, and you know this, Jim, from talking to small businesses. For years, they said, look, we want to comply with the law, but we want one place to go at each agency, whether it be OSHA, whether it be the IRS, whether it be EPA.
Because you could get the runaround.
You really can. And there's so many different departments and offices within the agencies that oversee various regulations and that require, you know, a lot of paperwork. So look at
Karen, one of the things that small business owners have said to me is, you know what, I barely have time to comply with all this stuff they want me to comply with. I don't have time to play games.
No, but the bottom line is this, is that, you know, according to the report, they didn't meet their goal. There are multiple points of contact with some agencies. In some agencies, there none existed. So really, they failed in this regard. And this did not. This was not a very pleasant experience for John Graham, who's the head of a lawyer at the OMB when he had to testify. But essentially, they said, look, why didn't this happen? Why don't we have a single point of contact? And, you know, I think our poor friend John Graham is even having problems with the bureaucracy in terms of getting a small business point of contact. But, mm-hmm. so, you know, it really is not an excuse. I mean, if you want to create, maintain, and encourage a culture of compliance, and if you want to make it easier for small businesses to get from point A to point B, then that's part of the burden. It's not just filling out the form. It's all the activity, all the time, the resources, and research that is expended on complying as well.
Karen, stand by. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We've got more to come. We're talking about the Paperwork Relief Act that Karen has been testifying about, helping us to have one point of contact when we contact an agency about the compliance that they require of us. 20 Till, stay with us. We'll be right back. Back at 17 till. Let me remind you, coming up in the show straight ahead, we got a new friend, Stefan. Tom Key's going to explain to us how to experiment in our small businesses. Stephanie Denton hasn't been with us in a while, and she's going to talk to us about getting organized. So that's Stefan first, and then Stephanie after that. And then Mariette Hartley. You know the actress Mariette Hartley? Well, she's working on improving our health, and she's going to be joining us to talk to us about some ways to improve our health. And then Gene Greisman, one of our top small business time experts, is going to help us with make sure that we get more out of the time that we spend every day. Karen Kerrigan is with us. She's the chairman of the Small Business Survival Committee and of another organization that she's founded for women, Women Entrepreneurs, Inc. Karen, now the SBSC website is sbsc.org. And, folks, I encourage you to go there because you can also go there to find out how your congressman or woman and senators voted on small business issues. And Karen, give us the WE Inc. website, please.
It's we-inc.org. So we-inc.org.
All right. And what do we find when we get there?
There's a lot of great stuff on there. Folks will be able to look at some of the latest work that's been done by WeBank, the Women's Business Enterprise National Council. Mm-hmm. As well as the Center for Women's Business Research in terms of developing best practices for working with, corporations and procuring and contracting with corporations. You'll also find some testimony that I submitted to the United States Postal Service, actually the President's Commission on Reforming the United States Postal Service, about how we bring the Postal Service into the 21st century in order to fulfill what it's supposed to be doing in terms of delivering the mail and where it should not be going. And what I mean by that is largely looking for revenue sources and other types of business activities that I was concerned about would compete with women business owners and entrepreneurs. Actually, business owners in the private sector should be supporting Postal Service through outsourcing and doing commercial activity that they do best. Not USPS shouldn't be ways of encroaching into the private sector.
I agree with that. And by the way, folks, Karen's on a cell phone, and so if there's any ambiance around her, we're going to get it, and that's the way it is with live radio, but we appreciate her being able to take the time.
It's Karen, just our excitement, right, Jim?
That's exactly right. It's nonstop on this show. Karen, let's get back to the paperwork reduction thing. So basically what's happened is the OMB has had a year to reduce the paperwork requirements to simplify the process that small business owners have in order to comply with the various regulations. They've had a year to just to collect the low-hanging fruit, and they haven't done that.
Yeah, they've had a year to do a couple things. One, as we mentioned, is sort of establishing the single point of contact so small businesses can get from point A to point B.
And they haven't done a good job of that.
More quickly, yes. And the committee gave them an F for that, which I said means fix. That's Chairman Osi is not going to be too pleased. And one of the other things was just establishing a central portal or a central catalog of all the regulations in government that small businesses have to comply with. So you know, small businesses by industry sector classification could either go to a catalog or go to the web, put some basic information in, and then up would pop sort of a checklist or all the regulations that small businesses in certain sectors have to comply with.
But then we need, but then, Karen, we need to get it into plain English.
Yeah, and in plain English. I mean, just essentially something that is very simple, a central catalog, a central paperwork portal that small businesses could go to, and that it be done very simply. I mean, that was just another item that they were asked to look into, and I think in their task force report, the chairman was upset because basically the presentation was, well, these are all the barriers to doing this, as opposed to this is how we can do this.
Right.
So, you know, it was like, look, if the government, you know, can't even put together a list or develop a system where small businesses can figure out where to go to comply, I mean, you know.
But Karen, if we don't comply because we don't understand and because we can't get the right information, that's not going to be any defense against not complying.
Exactly. And then the third thing was, you know, what is the progress been to date in terms of reviewing some of this paperwork, reviewing the forms, reviewing the information collection? What is being collected, and what is the process that has been established to review this stuff to see what we could throw out?
Mm-hmm.
And a systematic process really hasn't been established on that front either. So, as you can see, the OMB has a long way to go.
What are some things that we can do to help you with this, Karen? Can we contact our elected representatives about this?
Yeah, you know, I would. I mean, I would encourage two things. One is I would encourage people to contact Chairman Osi's office at the Subcommittee on Regulatory Reform. He is looking for specific things that maybe the OMB hasn't looked at that a small business owner might say, hey, look, I have to fill out the same thing in 10 forms or 2 forms.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants ideas, too, of realistic ideas and practical ideas that he could say, tell the OMB, look, go after this. We got this recommendation from a small business owner.
Now, O.C., how do you spell his last name?
Chairman O.C. is O.S.E.
And where's he from?
He's from California. Great guy, business guy.
Right.
He's serving in the Congress for only 6 years, and he's done. He's going to go back and do something else.
Mm-hmm.
But we need people like him, which is really unfortunate.
Right.
The other thing is to call, and he can be reached at the switchboard, 202-225-3121.
All right, Karen, hang on. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with our good friend Karen Kerrigan. And we're going to find out how, when we come back, how women are doing in the marketplace. And that's coming up right after these messages. Since y'all stay with us.
On the highway, looking for adventure, and whatever comes our way, yeah, I gotta go.
We're back at 7 till on Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.jbsba.com. Karen Kerrigan is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. She's an original member of our Brain Trust, basically an original member of this show. I may be the only one who's got more, who's been on the show longer than she has. She's been supporting all the things that we do since the very beginning. I call her my big sister in Washington, D.C., even though she's a lot younger than me. She keeps her eye out for me up there, and I always appreciate that. Karen, before we get into the women in the marketplace issue that I know you've got some things to tell us about, is there anything else going on in Washington we need to know about?
Oh, gosh, there is so much going on, you know, Medicare front and, you know, the health care front. We're unfortunately hitting up against some barriers or some challenges on, for example, getting medical savings accounts, making them permanent and universal.
Mm-hmm.
It was on the House side, it was thrown into the Medicare bill, which really is messy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Although it's an appropriate place to have medical savings account expansion, because the key to MSAs, which makes them great, is that it helps people save for the long-term care.
Well, and
which
the people
we think
who
is an important reform for Medicare, to have people allow them to save more of their money so they don't, hit a system in the future that may not be around.
And the people who are against it are really being disingenuous, because these are the same people who are complaining because so many Americans don't have health care, when this would solve a lot of that problem, wouldn't it?
It really would.
The medical savings accounts.
Yeah, I mean, both in the short term, it is more affordable. You know, people will have money at their disposal that they could pay for out-of-pocket expenses. That combined with a high-deductible policy, you know, it makes it a more affordable product. And then the money that is not used in the MSA can be built up and saved for the long term for their long-term health care needs. But, you know, I guess who, you know, signed, you know, a letter, you know, a bunch of letters from senators, and guess who they are, sent a letter to the president saying, look, at if MSA expansion and permanency are part of the Medicare reform bill, then, you know, we're not going to support it. And, of course, it was Senator Ted Kennedy.
Ted Kennedy, the arch enemy of small business.
And, you know, some of the more liberal, you know, members, Democratic members in the Senate. So, you know, they pretty much drove down the stake. But we've been this route before, actually. We were able to defeat that and get an MSA bill signed under President Clinton.
One of the problems with the MSAs is it's supposed to expire next year, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean,
Have they been able to fix that?
We've been able to extend it each and every year. But part of the problem is the uncertainty. I mean, you cannot get momentum behind a product.
Well, no company's going to promote a product if they think they're going to have to pull a plug on it in a year or two.
Or else you won't get the same number of players involved, you know, in order to do this. I mean, everyone's taking baby steps. But, you know, despite all these restrictions, they're succeeding in the marketplace. 70% of the people buying them are the previous insured.
Right.
It's over $100 million in consumer savings that consumers have actually been able to keep for themselves.
Right.
You know, as opposed to throwing out a government bureaucracy or a healthcare bureaucracy. So they are working.
Karen, let's move over and talk. We got about a minute and a half. Let's talk about the women in the marketplace. There's a lot of buzz about women in the marketplace. Should men be afraid, be very afraid?
Oh, be afraid. You know what? I think, you know, I don't know if they should be afraid. I think they should think this is a really good thing because, you know, men who own businesses now have more, you know, competent people to do business with.
Yeah.
You know, certainly having more competition in the marketplace and more players is good and healthy for our system of free enterprise.
Well, one thing's for sure.
Close to 10 million women business owners nationwide. And they're becoming major players not only in our domestic economy, but in our global economy. And it's really a positive thing.
And the women business owners, if my statistic, my memory is good, it serves me on this, women business owners fail at a smaller rate than men business owners.
That is correct. I mean, they are not only they're starting businesses two times the rate of men in all businesses, but they're also, you know, succeeding at a better rate as well. Marcia Firestone, who's the founder of the Women's Presidents Organization, which is an organization of women business owners with $1 million or more in revenues.
Right.
She has a great article that I just posted on the We Inc. website where she talks about why she's optimistic about women in business. And she surveyed her members, you know, in terms of their compensation levels.
Right.
I mean, it's well over 200,000.
Karen, I got to stop you because I want to make sure people know. Folks, that's we-inc.org, weinc.org, with a hyphen in the middle, right, Karen?
Yes, and read that article, and please get on the email list. People will love it.
Check it out. Thanks, Karen. Good
Thank
job
you.
Today. See you next
you
time.
Bet.
Karen Kerrigan, bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, she'll be back. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blessingame. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blessingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.